Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Tuesday, July the 29th, 2025. In studio is Fred Jackson, Chris Paisley, Steve Paisley, Jordahl.
Hey, I don't think Chris would mind.
Okay, Chris Woodward was with us earlier, raised in Kansas City, and we thank you for listening. So what's our first story today, Steve?
You know, I keep scrolling through my Twitter feed, and I'm seeing these unhinged liberals screaming about how there's a famine going on in Gaza. The people, we're starving them. There's food. They just can't eat. Israel's not letting them eat. That's the narrative that's out there, and I tell you, it's getting unhinged. I think Mike Huckabee has something to say about this. Maybe he can set the record straight. And I have been looking at it, too. So if he's
the ambassador to Israel for the United States.
He is the American ambassador to Israel. And this is what he had to say about it. Cut 15.
It's a mess. But it is a mess because Hamas has made it a mess. They could have ended this 2 years ago, shortly after October the 7th. But they chose not to. After they massacred 1,200 people and brutally murdered them, then they took 250 hostages where they continue to torture them. Most of them are out, but there are still 20 living hostages, we think. And then the rest are deceased, but their remains are still in Gaza. It's not a pleasant situation, but it's unbelievable to me, Dana, that you see worldwide all the pressure is being put on the Israelis. The pressure should be put on Hamas. They're the ones who keep changing every opportunity to end this. The president was exactly right when a couple of months ago he urged us to stand up a food operation, which we did, called GHF. We fed over 96 million meals safely. It's also been a model so that Hamas can't steal it. Those were the two things the president said. Get food to the people who need it, but make it so that Hamas can't steal it. The UN method, which, by the way, has been a disaster, is one that, as they like to use the euphemism, it's self-distributed. That means the food is stolen off the trucks as they drive in. So is there suffering? Yes. Is it as bad as some of the Europeans say it is? No. But it could be a whole lot better. It could all be over quickly if Hamas would finally decide there's no future for them there, which is exactly what the president keeps saying.
Yeah. You know, the several points there. And the main one being, this never had to happen in Gaza. Hamas initiated this on October 7, 2023. Hamas could end this any day of the week if they would just put up the surrender sign and let those hostages go. This is all of Hamas, but the mainstream media around the world, government, sadly, British government, French government, are all blaming Israel for this. You know, each day, the Associated Press puts out stories on this every day. And they like to do a death count of the number of Gazans they say the Israelis have killed. But you know what their source is, AP source is? Hamas.
Oh.
Hamas runs the medical system in Gaza. That is their source. Why do you think terrorists have any resistance against lying? Of course they're lying. Mike Huckabee, I saw the whole interview on Fox this morning. He was asked about the images that are being put out there, the pictures that people are reacting to. He says, you know, one of the pictures that they've put out there is from 2017, even before all of this happened. He says they've been putting out pictures of this woman holding this terrible situation, but he says it's of a disabled baby, a physically disabled baby, but next to this woman, what you don't see is her other child who has been well fed. This is an anti-Israel propaganda on steroids that's going on out there right now. He also has some very sharp criticism of President Macron of France, who has said that he will recognize and is recognizing a Palestinian, separate Palestinian state. And Mike Huckabee said, you know what? If Macron wants a separate state for Palestine, why doesn't he give up some of the French Riviera and give those to the Gazans so they can live there? But he says, no, that's not the interest here. The Hamas people keep their own people miserable, and then Israel gets blamed for this. So very strong. I'm so glad that we have Mike Huckabee as our ambassador there.
Yeah. Ray, any thoughts here?
Well, let me just jump on the last thing you said. Mike Huckabee is the best U.S. ambassador in my memory, the best one to represent not just U.S. interests, but he's an evangelical Christian.
Amen.
Minister. Yeah. He understands biblical truth. He couldn't be a better man there. And is there suffering in Gaza? Absolutely.
Yes.
And is there some degree of starvation there? Yes. But lay that responsibility where it belongs, at the doorstep of Hamas. They have deliberately created a situation where their own people are starving, where the aid cannot get to them. So let the truth be told. This is not caused by the IDF. It's not caused by anything the Israelis did. It's Hamas who started it, and they are the ones who are keeping their own people. They're holding them hostage to create sympathy around the world and then blame the Israelis for the problem.
Yes.
Yeah, I think anything's going to change this. I would call it a false narrative that many, the UN and others put forth about Israel. Because as you guys say, this could stop now if Hamas would give over the hostages that they hold. By this stopping, I mean this. Israel is, as I said yesterday, Israel is going to have to still maintain. I don't know what they're going to do with these people in Gaza because they got no future. As long as Hamas, which is the organization they choose as their political leadership, that is the Gazans, the Palestinians, they're Arab Muslims, basically. As long as they continue to have Hamas run things, and Hamas has vowed to drive Israel into the sea and kill the Jews, Israel can't let Hamas bring in weapons that can be used again against Israel. So you might refer to that as sort of a blockade, if you want to, a security blockade. So Israel has to watch what comes into Gaza from the sea and from the land, and they have to check these things, including trucks that say they have food, you know, because it could be rockets, or they could be things assembled to build rockets, for example, or guns and that kind of stuff. So it's a bad situation, but it's interesting that so the French, Macron, is that his name?
Yes.
He's criticizing Israel.
Yes.
And Mike Huckabee says, okay, then why don't you open up some of the French Riviera and the Gazans can go there and live.
Yes.
But you're not going to do that, are you?
No. Yeah. And you know, we have to have our folks be clear on this. You know, these folks now, the UK this morning, Foreign Secretary, I think, is giving a speech right now in New York saying that UK is going to recognize the state of Palestine. Listen.
What?
Yes, the UK. Yes, recognize the state of Palestine.
There's no state of Palestine.
It's not there. It's not, yeah. In their mind, this is what they want. The UN has got something going on right now, recognizing it. They say the two-state solution. Has our ambassador, Mike Huckabee, had pointed out in an interview with us back a couple of months ago. Listen, Israel has an example. Gave up Gaza, that land called Gaza. They gave that up back several years ago in the interest of peace in the Middle East.
Yes, they did.
Guess what happened? You know, they've had to live with problems from Gaza.
Should have never done it.
Ever since.
Should have never done it.
This you could create a Palestinian state. There's not going to be any peace because these people preach hatred against the Jewish people.
Gaza Strip there in Israel is Israel's land.
Yes.
But and the, about when was it? 15, 20 years ago, they made Jews leave. Israel made the Jews who lived in the Gaza Strip leave.
Yes.
because they said, we're giving this land to the Palestinians, to the Arabs. They can basically run their own lives here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they used it for a launching pad to attack to Israel.
Yes.
So Israel never should have done that. I'm sure they wouldn't do it again. That was a if you want to call it a land for peace deal, or you want to call it that was a trial run for a, quote, Palestinian state.
Yes.
End of quote right there. And if you want to know why the whole world always condemns Israel at the UN, it's Israel and all the rest of them, all the other countries around them are all Muslim.
Yes.
So they're going to always condemn Israel. It doesn't matter whether they're Shia or Sunni. Ray, any thoughts on this at all before we move on here?
Look, Israel's doing the only thing they can do. Yeah. They were attacked.
Right.
October the 7th, right. They were attacked unilaterally. They were attacked without warning. And hundreds and hundreds of
1,100 to 1,200 of them were murdered.
Were murdered, yeah. Right there. So ask yourself, who started this? Hamas started this. Israel has been defending itself, trying to remove Hamas and their leaders from Gaza. They've been very successful, but obviously, guys, they got a long way to go because Hamas somehow is still in concert with the UN, I think, basically involved. The end result of what they're doing, they're starving their own people and blaming it on Israel.
Yes.
It's evil beyond belief what they're doing.
The UN is deeply complicit in all of the horrors that are going on there. They are the ones that are hijacking the food and hiding it. They sell it to Hamas, which has to sell it to the Palestinians so they can fund their terror enterprise. Israel has been airdropping food directly into the people that need it. But the UN is deeply corrupt. Yeah.
Go ahead, next story.
All right. Tim, do you know who Skip Bayless is?
I do.
All right. So Skip Bayless is an ESPN sports talk host and has a podcast, and he went on a little bit of a rampage. He doesn't like what Scottie Scheffler had to say about priorities, if you can believe it.
Tell me about the world's number one golfer.
Who don't know. Yeah, so before the British Open, which just happened, Scottie Scheffler sat down and says, I want to be a better father than I want to be a golfer. I want to prioritize my family. Golf will find its place, but my priority is my family. Well, Skip was having none of it. He prefaced this remark, it was longer, I cut this part out, by saying that he focused so much on his career that he lost his first marriage. His second marriage is in trouble. Because he was...
Wait a minute, excuse me, just for so we don't confuse anybody. You're not talking about Scottie Scheffler losing his first family.
Skip Bayless, thank you. Okay. Skip Bayless lost his first wife. Skip Bayless has said his second marriage is in trouble, and yet he has this to say about Scottie Scheffler. 13.
I have no idea if Tiger or Jordan or Tom Brady have a spiritual side, because I've never heard them talk about God, not that I can remember. All three were just obsessed with winning. They couldn't wait to win again and again and again until their bodies finally just gave out, because each of these three believed they were born to dominate. Nothing made them happier than dominating. So it was that I was jolted and jarred by what Scottie Scheffler said on the eve of the British Open. No, Scottie, no. God gave you spectacular ability to play the world's hardest game, gave you the strongest competitive drive since Tiger, gave you what Jack Nicklaus had, what Ben Hogan had, and you can't just shrug it off at age 29 and focus on, as you said, being a better father than a golfer. You can't do that, Scottie. No, God wants you to maximize the platform from which you can honor him and encourage fans to open their hearts to him, to God. That's what God has led or called you to do, Scottie, not to focus on your wife and infant son before you're 30.
I don't know.
You wonder why his first marriage, Scottie Bayless's first marriage failed, right, Ray?
Wow. Skip Bayless giving a lesson on child rearing and theology. Yeah, Scotty Scheffler.
I noticed that. He was speaking for God.
Speaking for God there. This is what God wants you to do.
Well, listen, Scotty Scheffler, for those who don't follow the world of golf, he is the he's a Texan from the Dallas area. He's the number one golfer in the world and has been for the last couple of years. And he's the closest thing to Tiger Woods in terms of his ability. Tiger Woods. Now, Tiger Woods is, his golf career is finished, but when you look at it, he's the number one and the number two golfer in the history of the world with Jack Nicklaus. Mm. You would mention those two people together, Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods. But Scotty Scheffler is on that trajectory. Yep. To be mentioned in the same breath with these guys at the end of his career. He's only 29 years old, but Scotty Scheffler is a Christian man, and he doesn't hide that at all. He's very open about his Christian faith. In fact, he says he wants his caddy to be a Christian. He's a part of the Christian Fellowship of the Professional Golfers, and he's a family man. He doesn't, he's with his family all the time if he's not practicing his sport, or is he not playing in one of these tournaments? So I don't know what Skip Bayless there, who is a ESPN commentator, is the point he's trying to make. It's messed up. Okay, really messed up, because all Scotty Scheffler said was, I want to be my priorities are my God and my family and then my profession. That's what he's saying. He's not saying he doesn't want to be good at his profession. He wants to be good and great at his profession. But what Skip Bayless is saying there, that because Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods had an insatiable desire to dominate in their sports, that makes them somehow superior, I don't know, people? And he did say, Skip Bayless, it was convoluted logic. Yeah. You know, I use logic. He's saying that by being the best golfer you can be gives you a better platform to promote God, he said. That's what Skip Bayless said. Well, not if your priorities are whacked out of whack. Mm. Something's going to give there. So anyway, next story, Steve.
All right. We need to give some media lessons to our Democrat friends in Congress. Jasmine Crockett, who is the up-and-coming liberal squad-type member and very provocative in everything she says. She was being interviewed by The Atlantic. They were going to do a profile on her. And so she talked to them and everything. And then she found out that they called other Democrat congresspersons to talk about what they thought about Jasmine Crockett. She didn't like that. So she called up The Atlantic and said, I'm shutting down the profile and revoking all my permissions. And someone's got to tell her, that ain't the way it works.
I'm shutting down my profile.
Your profile of me.
Your profile of me. Oh, too late.
too late.
Pull the story. They were talking to other Democrats, and she was even worried about what other Democrats might be saying.
It wasn't
going to
be flattering?
Yes. Therefore, the story cannot run.
Yeah, she's the congresswoman from the Dallas area, I think.
Yes.
That
yes.
said a lot of wackadoodle things. She's a squad member type.
Oh, yeah.
She is. She's the new face of the squad. And if I may say so, everything she says is based on racist kind of stuff.
So The Atlantic, which is a liberal news magazine, was going to do a feature on her, and she didn't like them talking to other Democrats about what they thought about her, right?
Yeah, so she called it and said, I'm shutting it down.
I
oh,
do that.
No, you're not.
No.
Yeah.
But the bigger story here is, this is what this is really all about, because there are Democrats who do not like her. Forget about Republicans. Right. Yeah. There are Democrats who don't like her, who worry about her and the other squad members and what that may mean for the midterm elections.
Right.
Because they're so wacky.
Yeah. Next story.
All right, you know who else is a little wacky?
Who's a little wacky, Steve?
The WNBA. You know, I have made it a point to not pay a whole lot of attention to the WNBA, but I am. I have to tell you this story. So the Phoenix Mercury were playing a game on Sunday, And one of the players, her hand got caught on another player, Kalea Cooper's wig got pulled off of her head. She's wearing a wig.
All right, start over here.
This is a WNBA game.
Yeah.
And this guard for the Phoenix Mercury was in a play, and one of the opposition players grabbed at her and got her hair by mistake and pulled the wig off.
Okay.
Well, they had to stop the whole game. They had to pause the game. This gal went into the locker room to put her wig back on. Meanwhile, someone in the stands laughed and kind of made fun of the whole situation. The referees went up into the stand and tossed this guy out and gave him a lifetime ban from the WNBA because he dared to make fun of this person who lost her wig during the game. This is why I don't pay a whole lot of attention.
Hold on a second. The refs?
Yeah. Mm. The bench of the Phoenix Mercury complained to the referees, hey, that person was... So the referees went and got security to kick the guy out and gave the guy a lifetime ban from the WNBA.
Well, that's happened to me before.
losing the wig part or getting the ban?
Losing the wig. I lost my wig in a game one time at church league, and it was embarrassing.
I bet it was.
Yeah. It was.
But did they stop the game?
They didn't stop the game. They told no. They maybe go to the dressing room, put my wig back on.
Did you?
Yeah. So I've never heard of the refs. Now, the referees at ball games do have the right to have people ejected.
Yeah.
I've seen that before because they get unruly or they're shouting profanities or getting personal with the players or something like that. So, but this doesn't sound like it merits being tossed, but a lifetime ban.
A lifetime ban.
A lifetime
ban. You made fun of. And
yeah.
You could hear I didn't record it, but you could hear the
referees
talking about it.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't see why you want to wear a wig during a game.
Well, you got to look good.
Huh?
You got to look good. You got to represent.
Yeah. Well, it can be pulled out, though.
Yeah, and it was.
Do men wear toupees in the NBA? During a game?
I doubt it.
Would you ever see a toupee fly off?
Never seen it.
Would they delay the game, though?
Yeah, no, they stopped the whole game.
Oh, they did just stop the whole game.
Everybody
go to the restroom.
Go to the bench and
a snack break right here.
Yeah.
A wig break.
They wigged out.
They wigged out. That's right.
They wigged out.
Some of the comments here. I can't even imagine the humiliation I would feel if I was this fan. Imagine what your friends and family would think. You bought a ticket to a WNBA game.
Well, Caitlin Clark, she doesn't wear a wig.
No.
Yeah.
So you know she's
fun to watch.
Yeah, she's fun to watch. She's been hurt, by the way.
She is.
Yeah,
yeah.
She's got I saw the numbers the other day, and the numbers with her playing are the viewership is just through the roof compared to her not playing. So her team, the Indiana Fever, and the league itself needs Caitlin Clark to get back on the court as soon as possible. But the kind of injury she has. Is hard to overcome when you're playing basketball. If you don't sit out for like 6 or 8 weeks, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I know because it cut me out of the NBA.
Yeah.
And that in my toupee.
Yeah.
But you're not bitter.
No,
not a bit.
God had a bigger platform
so
for
Skip
you.
Bayless
that's
would
right.
Tell
that's
God
right.
Had other plans. Right.
That's right.
So anyway, all right, folks. My thanks to Ray and Fred and Chris and Steve and thanks to Dr. Jessica Peck and Adam Suddeth, our producer. We'll see you back here tomorrow.